welcome back to 10-4. This is Brian Keller here, and this is episode 33, which is all about downloading and installing Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. So in today's 10-4 episode, I'll be showing you how to download Visual Studio Ultimate, which is the new name for the highest-end version of Visual Studio 2010. We'll also download Team Foundation Server 2010 and the .NET Framework 4, and we'll install all of those on a single server. So we'll basically be building this for demo and evaluation purposes to allow you to kind of kick the tires and get a sense for how to set this up. There may be a lot of other things that you may want to build into this as well for your own production environments when you actually run this on a real server. But this video is designed to take you through kind of your first installation experience and allow you to play with Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2 for the first time. Now, I should mention that Visual Studio 2010 is actually being licensed for a go-live production environment, so you can use Beta 2 of Visual Studio 2010 in a go-live capacity, and we're also offering some limited support options for you as well. So I'll provide some more information at the posting for this 10-4 video, which will explain exactly what that means. What you'll need is if you want to follow along with this video, is a base operating system with Windows Server 2008 Service Pack 2 installed. You'll also need SQL Server 2008 if you want to install Team Foundation Server that is required for TFS 2010. And you'll also need to download the bits for Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate and Team Foundation Server Beta 2. So I'll be providing links for you to download that. Now, for purposes of this video, I'm going to assume that if you want to set this up in a virtual environment, that you know how to work with Virtual PC or Hyper-V or whatever the virtualization platform of your choice is. So I won't be covering any of the finer points there. And I'll also be assuming that you're going to apply all the Windows Update patches and apply virus software and everything that you need in order to remain compliant with your network police there. If you want to learn how to set this up and follow along with all the links, be sure to visit tinyurl.com/install-beta-2. I'll be referencing a lot of downloads in this video, and I'll also have some other helpful links to get you started with Visual Studio 2010 and Team Foundation Server 2010 Beta 2. So definitely check that out if you're watching this video. So step one, of course, is to go ahead and download the software. If you are watching this on October 19th or 20th, the software is only available to MSDN subscribers. Later on this week, we will be making this available to the world. So if you're not an MSDN subscriber, just hang in there. And I'll update this post with direct link locations to where you can download everything. You can also download a VHD file that contains Windows Server 2008 if you'd like to set this up in a virtual environment. It's kind of nice for a sandboxed environment, so you don't have to pave your primary machine or anything like that. You can just install everything into a virtual environment. And there's also a free SQL Server 2008 trial available that you can download as well. So all this software is freely downloadable and can be configured in a virtual environment. The next thing you do after you install a Windows Server 2008 is you should configure Windows Server 2008 with the appropriate roles. Make sure that you have a local administrator account, and I recommend making sure that that account does not expire. If you're using Windows Server 2008, be sure that you install Service Pack 2. That is a requirement for Team Foundation Server, and everything else here is listed on this slide. The image that I'm going to link to, which is an evaluation image of Windows Server 2008, does have a username and password, which is just username. The username is administrator. The password is pass@word1, as listed on the screen here. It's not activated, so you'll see a lot of activation messages. That's actually normal for this virtual machine, so unless you want to set this up in a production environment, you can just ignore those error messages and keep going. It will eventually expire, so if you do decide to use this VHD, I have a link to some more details that describes the expiration policy. And if you're using Hyper-V, there's also another 64-bit image that you can download as well if you want to use that within a Hyper-V environment. So in my episode 20 of 10.4, I actually showed how to download and install and configure the operating system, how to make sure that the accounts don't expire, everything that you need in order to set up your operating system. So if you want some help with that, I recommend you go back to episode 20 of 10.4, which you can find at tinyurl.com/vs2010beta1. And so if you download that 10.4 episode and watch the first several steps of that, then you'll basically get an operating system which is pre-configured and has everything you need with the exception of Service Pack 2. You will need to wire this up to the internet. I recommend downloading all Windows updates and applying Service Pack 2 so that you can install Team Foundation Server 2010. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about how to configure the base operating system. I'm going to jump right into it, and let's start by installing SQL Server. So you can use that SQL Server 2008 trial that I referenced earlier, and that's just a free download. It's an ISO image, so you can mount that ISO image and then just run setup. Once you do, you will need to run through and install the SQL Server prerequisites, so it will ask to install the .NET framework as well as a hotfix as well, so be sure to install those. Once you do, you can rerun setup, and it will give you the opportunity to move ahead. Again, all of that, everything up to this point is actually covered in episode 20 of 10.4. So if you want to see the step-by-step screenshots of exactly how to do that, go back and watch about the first half of episode 20. After you have the SQL Server 2008 prerequisites installed, your computer will reboot, and then you can run setup again. Once you do rerun setup, just go ahead and choose the first option underneath the installation tab, which is to install a new SQL Server standalone installation. And I've actually sped up this video a little bit and removed some of the wait time, so you'll notice that this might go a bit faster than your installation goes, just because I've taken out some of the wait times here. But once this loads up, that it'll go through and actually install the SQL Server setup files. You can basically just say next to this and say OK. Choose Enterprise Edition, which is the only option really for the trial, and accept the license terms. It will go through and install all the setup files that are going to be required. That takes a little bit. You might get a couple of warnings. Firewall is OK. Application security, that's not a problem either for this particular deployment. So you can just ignore those and click on Next. Select all of the components that you want to install and click on Next. And just keep all the defaults. And you will want to set up your accounts at this point. So the account that I like to use is just the local administrator account for running SQL Server. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this video, this is not a hardened deployment, so you may have your own deployment practices that you want for using accounts within your organization. So be sure to follow that. You will also have to change the SQL Server agent to automatic, and you can leave the rest the same. Click on Next. You'll then want to add the local administrator as an account on this machine, so click on Add Current User. And that may take a minute to pop up. And then click on Next and do the same thing on the next screen, Add Current User. And then click on Next. Keep the native mode default configuration, Next again. And then everything's ready to actually be installed. So click on Install. This part may take a little while. I think on my machine it took about 15-20 minutes. And then it will be finished. And then you can click on Next and close that out. Now you have SQL Server 2008 fully installed and configured. Now, if you configured Team Foundation Server 2010 Beta 1, you already know that Team Foundation Server 2010 introduces a two-phased setup and configuration. So during the first phase, you'll be just setting up Team Foundation Server, which really is just installing all the bits onto the machine. And then during the second phase, that's when you actually configure Team Foundation Server. So what you want to do is launch the Team Foundation Server configuration wizard from the appropriate media that you have. And so here I'm just going to launch the 32-bit installation wizard for Team Foundation Server. But we also fully support 64-bit now. Once that comes up, it's basically a matter of clicking Next, agreeing to the licensing terms. And you'll end up selecting which components you want to install. So I'll pick all components because I do want to set up build eventually. I don't need proxy server on this machine, so I won't install that, and I'll click on install. What this does is it goes ahead and starts copying all those bits onto the machine, And you will be prompted to reboot once during this if you don't already have the .NET framework installed. But once you're done, then everything will now be installed onto the machine. Now, once you get that all set up and you click on Finish, then it's going to launch the configuration wizard. Now, there's several different wizards that ship with Team Foundation Server 2010, and Beta 2 introduces a brand new wizard called the Basic Install. Basic's really nice if you are trying to install Team Foundation Server 2010 on a client operating system. We now support the ability to install TFS onto Windows Vista or onto Windows 7 if you want. You don't have to use the full-blown version of SQL Server. We'll actually lay down SQL Server Express. So it's a really nice and easy way to install Team Foundation Server, but you won't get reporting services and you won't get integration with SharePoint. So what I'll do is I'll actually just select the standard configuration here and we'll move forward. This is also, by the way, where you would select if you wanted to upgrade your Team Foundation Server deployment. So if you wanted to upgrade from TFS 2005 or 2008, be sure to select the upgrade wizard. Once I move ahead with the standard configuration, then I just have to give the account. This is an account that should be able to access the local SQL Server, so that's why I like being able to use everything as administrator on the same machine. And then click Next. It's going to go through and verify that all the settings look correct for your configuration. If you have any warnings, it will tell you about that here. Here I get a warning saying that WSS is going to create a new application pool. Not a problem, so we'll go ahead and click on Configure. And then it's going to go out and do the heavy lifting. Now, this may take a while. Once you're finished, then it will come back and tell you if you have any warnings. Now, occasionally with Beta 2 installing, I've noticed that the creation of the default team project collection does fail. And we haven't quite figured out exactly what machines that will cause it to fail, but what you can see here is what that looks like. It's actually not a big problem. Just go ahead and click on close to that, and what we'll do is we'll go ahead and create our new project collection in the next step. So don't worry if you see this error message. It's something that we're working on. So once you say OK here, then you can click on next. You'll get all of your installation logs will be captured and made available to you. And then you can close out of the configuration wizard. This will now open up the administration console. Once the administration console is open, then you can start configuring Team Foundation Server. If you've installed Beta 1, you now know we have a full administration user interface that you can use to perform common configuration and administration tasks. Much easier than TFS 2005 and 2008, where you had to kind of hunt around the command line and do all that stuff by reading the user manual. So definitely get familiar with the administration console because it is your friend. Once you are in here, if your team project collection creation failed, be sure to go to the team project collection configuration, and you can just add a new team project collection. Give it a name, so it might be like the name of your division or your organization. Here I'm calling mine Tailspin. And then just basically click through next on everything, and then it'll go ahead and verify and do the same verification and then configuration. So once that's done, then you're all set and Team Foundation Server 2010 is configured with a default project collection. And you should see everything light up green here. Now the one last thing that we'll do within Team Foundation Server configuration is we'll install, actually configure Team Build. So if you want to use Team Build and take advantage of an automated build or continuous integration build capabilities, then you can do that. Just come down to the Team Build tab of the administration UI and click on Configure Team Build. And as long as you installed that during the last step, then you'll see this as an option. And then you'll just need to give it the name of the team project collection that you want to install the build controller for. So we'll just connect to that Tailspin collection that we just configured. Give it the account that has access to Team Foundation Server. So once again, if you're using just a single account for everything, that makes this really easy. And then that will become configured. So now you're all set, and you have Team Foundation Server all set up. You have a build controller, and you have a build agent. Now, in Beta 2, I have seen some errors where right after configuring, the build controller fails to start manually or automatically. So just start it manually for the first time, and then on subsequent reboots, it should start automatically. Now that you have Team Foundation Server 2010 Beta 2 installed and configured, you probably want to go ahead and install the Visual Studio Client so that it can actually connect to Team Foundation Server, and you can start taking advantage of all the new capabilities coming in Visual Studio Ultimate. So as I mentioned earlier, Visual Studio Ultimate is the new product name for the highest end edition of Visual Studio. So that's the one we're making available with Beta 2. And so you can go ahead and just mount that ISO and start installing Visual Studio Ultimate. This could not be easier. I mean, basically, you just select Setup, and unless you want to configure specific components that you want to install, then it's just a matter of agreeing to the licensing agreement, and then clicking Next a few times, and then letting all the bits copy across. And so on my machine, this took about 30 minutes, so at this point you may want to go get some lunch or go work on something else. But once it's done, then Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate will be installed and ready for use on your machine. Finally, you'll want to go ahead and launch Visual Studio Ultimate for the first time. So right off your start menu, you should see a new entry for this. Launch that, and you'll be prompted for the type of development profile you want to set up and configure. And so I always just select General here, but you can select whatever you want. One of the nice things about 2010 is we actually install Team Explorer for you automatically, so you don't have to go somewhere else to install Team Explorer. You'll notice that it's just available right down here as a tab. What you'll do is just connect to the existing server that you have, and so this is the server that you set up earlier. Once that's available, then you're all set. Now, the one last thing you'll need to do is actually create a new team project within your team project collection. And so this is no different than what you did in 2008. Basically, right-click on your team project collection node and say that you want to add a new team project. You'll be prompted for a name. You can give it a description. Select your process template. We ship MSF for Agile or CMMI. There's also some third-party ones out there as well. By default, we'll go ahead and create a new SharePoint site for you for your team project. And then after a few minutes, then you'll be all ready to go. And so now you have a team project, and this is the place where you can store your work items, store your source control, generate your reports, work with builds. Everything that you're used to doing with Team Foundation Server 2008 is now available, and much, much more, such as the new hierarchical work item support, the new gated check-in capabilities of Team Build, and everything else we've been talking about on 10.4 to date. Now, if you still use Visual Studio 2008, you can still connect to Team Foundation Server 2010. You should be aware that some of the brand new capabilities of TFS 2010 won't be available to 2008 clients. So, for example, working with hierarchical work items is not possible because 2008 was not aware of hierarchical work items, so it will just treat your work items as a flat list. But you can still check in source control and everything else that you're used to from working with 2008. Now, working with 2008 and connecting to a 2010 server is a little bit different. Here's the syntax that you have to use in order to connect to the server. It's basically the server name and then the port, and then you have to add TFS and then a path to the team project collection name. So in the example we went through, that collection name would be Tailspin. And so here's what you would enter to connect to my server. Finally, don't forget that you can go back to the Channel 9 10.4 post for this, which is tinyurl.com/install-beta-2. And from there, you can get helpful links to working with Beta 2, how to give us feedback, how to file bugs, how to get support, how to actually download all the bits that I've talked about today. And you can participate in the comment section and ask questions, give us feedback, let us know what we can do to make this better for you. So we really hope you'll try out Beta 2 and check out the rest of the 10.4 episodes for some things that you can do in Visual Studio 2010, Team Foundation Server 2010, and the .NET Framework 4. And we look forward to hearing back from you. Thank you very much.